The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service by the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. Now, here's today's show.
Hey, welcome, nonprofit community. Aren't we lucky today to have Spirit of Giving Network sponsor us again? Thank you so much. They are such a wonderful organization to host our nonprofit so that they can come on board here and really enlighten the community about all the good works that so many nonprofits do that we aren't aware of. So this is a great platform to introduce to you today Letty Vendrell. She's the Director of Development with Kids in Distress in Broward and Palm Beach. And we're so lucky to have her. She's a busy lady going all over the place speaking about kids in distress, which in itself says a lot.
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
You know, so Letty, thank you so much. I'm Kara Zimmerman, a host today of the Forum for Nonprofit radio show. And I thank you for giving up your valuable time to be with me and to tell the community what you need and what you do. So thank you.
Thank you so much on behalf of the 11,000 kids we serve a year.
Only 11,000.
That's it. Oh. It's 11,000 plus.
Plus. Yeah. And growing.
Yeah. And growing. And at any given time, we serve 24/7, a little over 400 kids all across Broward and Palm Beach. So it's on behalf of their voice. Thank you. And thank you, listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Kids in Distress, I think, says it all. And is that your branding? I mean, do you, in terms of distress, what does that look like? And why are the children coming to you? What services do you offer?
Well, and that's a great question, Kara. So for over 30 years, we have been really just devoted to the prevention of child abuse, the preservation of the family. And that came about really when foster care privatized, and to the treatment of abused and neglected children. And so those are really our three prongs, so to speak, of our mission statement. And we are incredibly devoted to that. And every program goes under those three mission emphasis. You know, so it's either the preservation of family, the treatment of abused or neglected children, and then on a clinical side, you know, making sure that the mission goes distilled down to that clinical level where we are treating children of abuse and neglect. So things like our dental clinic, you know, is one example. You know, we partner with Nova Southeastern University, and we treat not just our own children on the campus and the families that we serve through fostering and adoption and licensing in Dade and in Broward and in Palm Beach County, but we also serve just Broward County kids wide. I mean, we serve in that dental clinic over 3,500 kids a year because they're on Medicaid. So we do a lot for just that. We're like a little bit of a microcosm of just serving the children that are direct beneficiaries and also indirectly into our communities.
So how, I know you've been in nonprofit and development for many, many years. How did you come about joining Kids in Distress? Because it hasn't that been that long, right? That you've
been
there? Well,
no. But for me, it's all about children. So if you kind of look at the overarching leadership opportunities that I've had over the last 20 years, they just had to do with children. Vulnerable children and being a voice for them.
And that this Kids in Distress definitely gives you a platform.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, as serving children that have no voice, being an advocate, being a leader, making sure that we're moving into those policy arenas and making change, you know, transforming lives, that's huge. And breaking the cycle of those poverty index levels of families that we serve. You know, we just came out with this Alice report, and actually it's nationwide. It's an Alice report, and it has the statistics of what the poverty index threshold is in the United States. And you'd be surprised how many are just right at that median place where they're not necessarily considered poverty, but gosh, they certainly couldn't afford, you know, taking their child to, you know, a normal dentist or having, you know, tutus that come with dancing class or even dancing class, you know, or they can't afford a good education. You know, there may be in some of the you know, urban areas where there's a lot of, you know, the inner city where there's a lot of that, the poverty-centric economic issue. So we're glad to have a 5-acre campus. It's beautiful. We serve sibling groups on our campus. We serve about 120 kids in our school. And it's a kindergarten, preschool plus, and also all the way up to fifth grade. We have a school there that I would have to say it's unsurpassed service, and we have an enrichment program that I would put on par with a lot of private schools. And all that for children that, for the most part, people would say they are a marginalized group, you know, right underneath that per capita 12,000 per family for family of four.
Is there, and when you say that, I can imagine there might be a waiting list even for kids to come onto that campus because of the services that you offer, mm-hmm. the much needed mm-hmm. services.
Well, there isn't a waiting list because there's a lot of other schools in the area, but what there is with the enrichment program in the summer camp, that's huge. You know, that's where a lot of kids do want to come. And a lot of these children that we do serve, and in those zip codes, obviously, that are more vulnerable, economic status, you know, a lot of our kids haven't even seen the beach.
Really?
So when we have donors.
Isn't it interesting? We live so close.
I know. And so when we have donors, so last year we had donors that were very special. They rented a huge, you know, school bus and took all the kids to the seaquarium, and they took them to the beach another time during the summer. And it was really shocking. It was shocking for these very special people, partners, constituents, to say to us, you know, this child, and in tears, I can't even believe some of these kids haven't even seen the beach. So so just even giving and partnering with us at that level was just, it was huge. It made such a huge impact.
And what about that child that got to see the beach? Can you imagine?
Oh,
what
it was
that,
amazing. Yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking about their life, how that, just that one event.
Right, right. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, when you sit next to a child that has never been to, you know, a really nice restaurant, and then they get this dessert that's gets put right in front of them, and they're like, wow, is this all mine? And they're looking around, and that's happened to me where I've had a child sit next to me and they're thinking, is this for me? You know? Yeah, they just you learn to kind of ration your food. And we have a commercial kitchen. We have two commercial kitchens on our campus because we discovered through the school that a lot of our kids don't get dinner when they go home. So we thought, you know what? We're going to give these kids 3 square meals a day. And we're going to make sure we have volunteerism that allows that time for mentoring and for homework, so that when these kids get home, you know, they are just ready to bathe and spend time with their families. And that's a part of our family preservation piece that is very important to us, because that little microsystem is huge.
So with that said, tell me a little bit more about the different programs. You mentioned the enrichment program and camp, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and the dental office, which
right.
is huge. I mean, dentistry is, there aren't that many resources for families in terms of teeth healthcare.
We don't, and especially not for kids on Medicaid. So a lot of professional dentist offices that have a lot of the state-of-the-art care will not treat children on Medicaid. So that's why we're proud to partner with Nova Southeastern, and we serve about 3,500 kids a year annually on Medicaid, aside of our own children. So with the, the devotion to preventing child abuse, that obviously is our foster care. So we do license, we have adoptions, and we do support, and we have family counseling that fall underneath that mission. And then the preservation of family, you know, healthy family, healthy start. We have newborn care. We have mommy and me classes for all of the hospitals that release new moms, for schools, for synagogues, and for churches that have moms that need this service. And we also have a whole host, you know, we have the school as well in that. And then we have our treating the child of abuse and neglect. So we have programs there as well that will, a social work terminology, but they're wraparound services. So we give this very high touch, holistic care. We're kind of a one-stop shop, you know, when it comes to children and families, and will there be reunification? Do they have to go into foster care? We do recruit foster families. So foster families are always, always, always needed. If we had 100 families today, we could give you 100 kids that are ready in the system. to to have families. Yeah. So the need is there and it's great. And one of the really, really neat aspects of what we do with family preservation piece is our kinship care. And that is, so currently right now, we have about 1,100 children that go into next of kin. So that is a child that will go with grandma or aunts or uncles, you know, just that still stay within that family system. But so think about this, Kara. So you've got a grandma that doesn't know anything about social platforms, doesn't know anything about, you know, what is going on with the coping mechanisms that children need, the traumas that they, you know, suffer with being removed from their families. And then they've got this double suffering because not only is that the grandchild, but it's their child that has substance abuse or, you know, name it. And that's why the child had to be removed. So we have what's called kinship care, which is specifically geared to bolster those grandmas, those aunts, those uncles, and help them with this trauma-informed care that will release that child from, you know, probably the most difficult heartbreak that they would suffer in their lives.
And also that grandma, I'm just thinking, can you imagine in terms of school, mm-hmm. you know, knowing how to navigate the school system if their child has to go to school?
And that's why the wraparound services are huge. You know, they really need it. And some of our social workers, they're just so wonderful. They will just go to Publix, you know, at night if they need to. I mean, our continuum of care is so, so highly regarded. And we have so many huge collaborations with all of our municipalities and partners, BSO and, you know, Henderson and statewide national models programs that we have, all evidence-based practiced. And so it's just great. It's great to see that very collaborative system working with kids in distress and also throughout the community. So it's just, it's a beautiful thing to see.
And I believe it does start from the top because you have a wonderful executive director with that warmth and care and knowledge about how to do that collaboration in a wonderful way.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mark Doge, who is our CEO, has been with us for over 23 years.
Wow.
And he actually started in the group home. He actually...
Oh. And he himself was in the group home?
He was a foster father young teenage boys. Yeah, when Kids in Distress was a shelter. But we're no longer a shelter, you know, once...
It started that way, though, right?
It started that way.
That's the roots of it?
It started that way. It started by just a few ladies in the junior league that said, you know what, we got kids and we need to serve these kids. And it started as a shelter. But when the state of Florida and national, you know, foster care was privatized, now we have families. So we have about 250 families that we serve. And we also have some group homes because we feel particularly burdened for siblings. We don't want to break the siblings up. So we have foster families that live in the group homes on our campus. And they are living with 7-8 kids. And they're all siblings. But we just don't want to break the siblings up. So, yeah. So he started as a foster dad for young teenage boys. And he has a very interesting story. So he's been with us for a very long time. And he knows the organization in and out, and every cyclical change it's ever had, every ebb and flow. But he was a police officer. So he just saw so many kids that he was locking up that he thought, I don't want that to be my life legacy. I don't want to lock them up. I want to do something about releasing them. And so he just devoted his life to doing something on the opposite end of putting kids away.
I love that story.
Isn't that awesome?
and you know, I hear that. I'm so grateful to have this position here on the radio because, you know, I hear so many stories. I don't want to say similar, but that the nonprofit started because of something that touched someone. And that little touch, you know, has grown into from animals to kids to whatever the issue is, food or poverty, you know, has grown into a huge nonprofit. But it started with that little sprinkle, that little seed that touch someone. And I think that's why they can become so successful, because there's that passion of that particular issue with that particular person, which touches other people that have like mind of that issue. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to connect all the dots because you're so passionate about whatever that is. But that all seems to start from, like you're saying about Mark with the police and that, da, da, da. you know, it's just a beautiful flower, if to put it, you know, kind of Pollyanna-like, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's it really
sure.
is.
I mean, these are mission-principled agencies,
yes.
you know, and they really do grow from a sense of a social commitment, you know, a commitment to society to make it better, to make it bigger, to make a difference, to make an impact somehow, whether that be policy or whether that be an act of sacrifice or an act of compassion. You know, it's those are kind of the areas that it covers, you know, and a lot of people have those motivations and drivers towards public service, and they will get into nursing and they'll get into education and they'll get into social work and they'll get into clinical counseling, mental health, social service arena, child welfare, because we're all wired differently, but there's a place in the wheelhouse for every person. And that's what I love about the collaborative spirit of Kids in Distress. But yeah, it's a mission principled agency. And as a nonprofit, we know that there are mandates, things that we have to do, but then the mission is the thing that is the one thing that we want to do, you know, and that building public value is huge.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, just that one step, okay, we mentioned all of the issues, but then to take it that next step, which Mark did, you know, like actually starting a nonprofit. You might have these ideas, but then to put them into place, that is what I really, you know, impresses me about Kids in Distress or any nonprofit that comes here to talk about how they got started. Because, like I say, it's one thing to have a passion about something, but then to go ahead and do it. So we're going to come right back. Thank you so much, Letty. This is great. We're going to talk about your call to action, how we can help, phone number. We'll be right back. Thanks okay. so much.
Thank you.
I definitely feel like the words veteran and homeless should never go together.
Sergeant Michelle Garcia served meritoriously in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I had friends, and, you know, I went and stayed at a friend's house. And then I realized, well, you're staying at your friend's house, but how long can you stay there? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to call home?
Lieutenant Richard Stokely took the skills he learned in Vietnam and put them to use as a paramedic. But after they left the service, these veterans had problems with homelessness. Michelle lost all her savings, and Richard battled alcoholism for years.
It started taking me down, all the way down to the point where I lost my family and I ended up homeless.
A simple phone call to 877-424-3838 put them in touch with the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you are a veteran in need, or you know a veteran who is homeless or at risk of being homeless, call 877-424-3838 or visit va.gov/homeless.
Hey, community. Hi, it's Kara with Spirit of Giving Network's Forum for Nonprofit radio show. And I'm so happy to have Letty Vendrell here. You can tell by our conversation that she's extremely knowledgeable and has a wealth of information about nonprofits, community, Kids in Distress. She's the director of development, and we have so much to get through in the next few minutes. But Letty, tell us more about the programs and how we can help at Kids in Distress.
Okay, no, thank you. I mean, we really do hope that the audience will give some special consideration to co-laboring with our endeavors of really treating the whole family with all of the additional and ancillary mental health and therapeutic care that they need just to stabilize our children. And also to help create a home that preserves the family. And because of a lot of people and their gracious contributions, we can really replenish summer camps. We can give direct enhanced programming. We can serve our foster families. We can serve children in our school. We can provide quality direct aftercare and summer camp programs. And we can supply food and we can facilitate field trips and we could do lots of things. There is right now one particular call, and that is with some of the curriculum that we integrate for the summer camp. And now that it's summer, we have a lot of children that need to be in summer camp and not just stay home and be latchkey kids. We really want them to be in some really aggressive exciting programs. So we do have a SPARK program, which is a physical health, arithmetic, literature. So we read books with them and also do a lot of music programs with them and enrichments and field trips. So that's one program that we have right now. And because of these generous contributions and just whether it's time, talent, or treasure, it doesn't matter. You know, our children end up having a chance at childhood, which is what I always say, because a lot of our grant programming, you know, someone asked me this, oh, so, well, if you get grants and municipalities and foundations to give you money, then why do you fundraise? And I always tell a story. Well, okay, so the reason why we fundraise is because we have little children that suffer traumas, like when their moms commit suicide right in front of them. And the state, through Children's Services Council, maybe, or another municipality, will say to us, well, we can give you 12 sessions to counsel the child. And that's it. So, okay, so this child that may be 9 or 10 years old that just suffered this incredible trauma, 12 sessions, really? And that's enough. That's enough to really release them to be healthy. And it's not. And that's just
start.
And so they call it adequate funding. And so what we do is we want to go beyond what's adequate. And we want to give that child a chance at childhood. That's really what we want to do. And giving them a chance at childhood so they can be happier and healthier and stronger and brighter. And I just always like to ask people, imagine what we can do. So right now we do have a very provocative, so our iconic image branding is a butterfly. And the reason why we have the butterfly is because it is transformative. And so we do have a campaign that we are running right now that for $58 a month, you can just on a regular month-to-month basis give us this donation. And we serve 1,000 kids a month. Think about it. So it's over 11,000 a year. It's 1,000 kids a month. And what I'm asking for people to think about is for $58 a month, what you're going to do is really just change the life, transform the life of one child in 1,000. So
now how do we do that $58 a month? How would we get on board with that? Because that's really a doable, and you're making
it's absolutely doable. It's under $2 a day.
There you go. Yeah. This is a development director. You can tell she's got $2 a day. People, come on.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
really,
a couple
sense.
Of Starbucks's at a or a dinner night out or something, and it's not a lot. So for $58 a month, you can change the life of one child, one in 1,000. And it's just a perpetual gift. It's an unrestricted gift, and it allows us to put into any one of these programs just to build capacity to give them that enrichment that they need. And it really makes a difference. And we could do one of two things. I can give you my email address, or you can go right to Kids in Distress. It's www.kidinc.org. And then they can go right into the donation to Butterfly is what they would do.
I love the butterfly. We did a show not too long ago with Daggerwing Butterfly Park in Boca, and they talked so much about the butterfly, and it is a beautiful symbol, you know, freedom and the beautiful colors and how it transforms and hopeful, isn't it, the butterfly?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, and what I love about it too is that this caterpillar is kind of locked down for quite a while before it blossoms. And so that's where I think that, you know, in that stage is where we can come in and make a difference.
Especially at that age, when you're that age, as a young person, you know, things stay with you. Like, you know, they talk about learning a language. You can learn a language when you're young. It's harder when you're older. Things you maintain more when you're young. So if you had some trauma or issues when you're young, that stays with you for your lifetime.
Sure. And again, it's that breaking of a cycle.
Yes.
Which is really important. That's the ends of everything that we do programmatically. And, you know, a lot of kids, and this is where I think it really comes from, is they do suffer a marred identity. And that's where we want to get to the core of that identity and really just help them with self-significance, self-worth, value, so that they understand that they are not just a recipient of blessings, so to speak, but they are also, they can give it. You know, they have value towards society. You know, they're not just the recipients of it, but they can also give it.
So what kind of, you must have a huge staff. I mean, you're talking about all of the different programs to facilitate these children and in the camp and everything else, the enrichment program. What is the staff like at Kids in Distress?
The staff is wonderful. So we have about 170 people. We run very lean. Yeah, we do run our budget very, very lean, with about a 93% going direct impact to kids and to families and to programs. And we do have a lot of partnerships that come on board. We do really, really collaborate with families that just want to have small dinner parties, that just want to, you know, maybe benefit us through their restaurants or private businesses. We have big corporate matching. So we have Carnival, Norwegian. We have a lot of Wells Fargo. We have a lot of organizations that will work with us from a corporate philanthropy standpoint. And we have individuals as well. So, and our social workers are just wonderful people. Again, they will be out 24/7. I think one of the reports that we heard from the Children's Services Council, when they come and do periodic audits of our files, you know, they'll take a big percentage and look through. And one thing that was very, very consistent about our serving our families was this 24-hour. It was pretty important for them to know that whenever that crisis referral came in, we were responding within 24 hours. And that's so great to see.
Yeah, kudos to that. I don't know who you know, a social worker 24 hours
a
day.
No, it's unsurpassed. Right? It really is unsurpassed service, yeah.
My gosh, lady. So tell us the website and phone number again so we can make sure that we get involved with Kids in Distress.
Okay, so it's kidinc.org, so KIDINC.org. You can go right into the donation page, and you would donate under Butterfly, and that would be $58 a month. So you could just put $58, and if you could put on the comments that you were referred to by our radio network here, that would be great, so we can kind of track where the dollars come from and
Terrific.
You can get some impact
yes.
for yourself and your
yes.
radio show. That would be wonderful.
Great.
Or you can email me. It's Letty Vendrell at kidinc.org.
Wonderful, Letty. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service of the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. And tune in again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.